Today's daf, I would like to dedicate to Refuah Shleima for Victor Ben Latifa. And we're holding on today's daf is daf Nun Dalit. We got up to about one third of the way down, actually. And we had just discussed what we were trying to come out with is that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Legabe, whether we're considered Shegeg or Tumezi. And that Rabbi Meir holds that we're considered shegeg or tumezid in the case of the Rabbanan. So therefore, the Rabbanan, in order to be more machmir, that people should take the Rabbanan more seriously, they were afraid that people would likely be over, so they wanted to make it more chomer. The question is that we have indications that Rabbi Meir was not considered shegeg or tumezid, even in the cases where we said he would. Tashma, let me show you a case. Now, halacha is that if someone eats truma of a kohen, so he has to pay back the kohen if he did it b'shogeg. If he did it b'mezid, it's like anybody else that steals food from a friend, pays him for whatever he took. But if he did it b'shogeg, there's a special mitzvah, which is ish giochal kodesh b'shkaga, that there what he needs to do is v'natan l'kohen et hakodesh. He has to give him back fruits or tvua according to what he ate precisely, and then it becomes Kodesh B'yad HaKohen. And the question is, what would be if he ate Truma Temeya B'shoge? Even if he ate Truma Temeya, he would be Mishalim Chulin Tahirin. He still has to pay back, we'll see why, but he still has to pay back Chulin, that would be pure Chulin. What about if he paid him chulin to meyimau? Now, while we're learning this, we need to realize that this is not the correct girsa, and the Gemara is going to fix it, because as written, it doesn't appear to make much sense. So don't worry about that right now. We're going to fix it in another minute. What would be if he paid him chulin to meyim in this case? So Omar Sumchas Bishum Rabbi Meir, it depends. If he did it b'shogeg, he didn't realize it was tamei. So then, tashlumav tashlumin, and that's it. The tummy becomes Kodesh, and it unfortunately you won't be able to eat it, obviously, but it's Truma Tameah, it belongs to the Kohen, and whatever value it has belongs to the Kohen. If he uses it to be Makadosh and Saisha, so, you know, that's the way we talk about it always, it means that it would be a kosher Kedushin, it's entirely his. How about if he did it, the Mezit? He paid the Kohen back with Tchulin that was tummy, when he was supposed to pay him back with Tchulin that was Tar. Then, ain't tashlumav tashlumi. We'll see. Again, we're going to be fixing this because it's not really true. V'chachamim omrim, echad zeh, the echad zeh, I don't care whether he did it b'mezid, he did it b'shogeg. For sure, what he paid the kohen, that belongs to the kohen, and it becomes truma. But there's a knas. The knas is, he has to pay it again. And this time he has to use the chulin toher. Now, this is obviously not exactly clear. Why would this be true? So first the Gemara is going to make this clear. So at the time, we asked, Vavina, but this doesn't make any sense. A guy who gave a Kohen the Chulin that was to me, what is wrong? Amai ain't tashlum av tashlumim. I don't understand. Tavola bracha, very nice, no? He ate something that would be completely useless for the Kohen, because the Kohen can never eat Truma Temeah, even if the Kohen himself is stomach. He can't eat Truma Temeah, and I'm being nice enough to give this Kohen Chulin Temeah. Chulin Temeah he would be able to eat. So, I mean, it's true that if it becomes Kodesh in the hands of the Kohen, that at that point it's also, but I mean, the bottom line is what I gave him is certainly as good and better than what I took from him. So what exactly did I do wrong that you're saying, no, we have to give you a knas. See, he gave him back something even better. So it doesn't make sense. V'yomar Rava. So the question is whether the guy had to necessarily not realize that it was going to become Tomei, which is what Rashi holds. It doesn't matter. At the time that I gave it to him when it was actually Roy for him. Okay, but the bottom line is certainly not worse, right? So he ate something that was Tomei. He gave him back Chulin Tomeim. What's the Knas? We Omar Rava, some say Omar Kedi. Remember, Kedi means somebody else that we don't know his name. And there are those who claim there's a guy called Kedi, which, okay, could be. Anyway, so Chisurim Mechasra, that actually the correct gears is like this. If you went ahead and ate Trumatameyah B'shogeg, so then it doesn't matter what you give him back, whether it's Chulin that was Tameh or Tahar. So, okay, that makes sense. You're not giving him back anything worth less. Avo Truma Tahora, I shouldn't say worth less, by the way, because the issue over here is not worth. It does not, there's a special halacha here when you're paying him back. It's not defined by the value. It's just the peres that you're giving him. Okay, that's, I mean, a bit of a question that goes beyond here. That's a question whether you pay him lefi mida or you pay him according to the actual value. Fine. But in any event, if you ate Chulin Tahara, then you have to give him back, of course, Chulin Tahara. Now, suppose you paid him Chulin Tameim. So now it makes sense what we're talking about. So you did something wrong because you're actually giving him back something that's not usable for him. So Sumchas Aimer Mishum Rabbi Meir, if you did it Bishogeg, so then tashlum af tashlumim. But if you did it b'mezid, in tashlum af tashlumim. Now look, this is a case of lo kantzinan shogeg otu mezid in the din of the drabanan. I mean, this is Rabbi Meir. The chachamim say echad zeh v'echad zeh, tashlum af tashlumim, but we do give him a knas, and he does have to go back and repay. V'chozer mershalim, chulin tahir. Now, says Rav Acha Brei Ravika, this doesn't fit with what you said. Because here, the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim is gufa this question. So Rabbi Meir holds law, since the guy didn't realize that he was doing something wrong when he paid back Chulin Tameim, he didn't know that they were Chulin Tameim. So Rabbi Meir says, so then if that's the case, we're not going to give him a knas, whereas the Chachomim say we do give him a knas. I'm so confused. You said before, the way we were trying to work this out was that I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, we are considering Chargi go to Mezit. Says, how do you bring a riot from over here? Listen, the cases that we were talking about is the guy did something wrong, right? He was being osek and doing something wrong. There was nothing that was redeemable about what he was doing. The question is, did he do it wrong on purpose, or did he do it wrong b'shogeg? Over here, he's trying to do something right. He's coming to pay back the Kohen. He thinks that his Chulin is tar. So what, we should give him a knas because he's trying to do a mitzvah of paying back the Kohen? This makes sense to you? Obviously not. So, what kind of crazy comparison is this? Somewhere we were talking about that whether he was metame somebody's truma. In this case, I mean, in that we're calling there, meaning to us, it's there. Gavr l'shtach l'nikam b'chavik. The man's trying to do what's right. So anna nekam l'ikam. Say we should give him a knas because he's coming to pay back to do the restoration. Nah. Okay, so how about this case? Tashma, I'll show you another case. That there's lo katzina shabu gotamezit in a case of a derabana. Let's say that the dam of a korban becomes tamei, and the kayin was zarek the dam. Now, the halacha is, midiraisa, that the tzitz is meratzeh. But the problem is that the rabbanan made a gezerah, that if you do this on purpose, then the tzitz is not meratzeh. Now, when we say the tzitz is not meratzeh, obviously it doesn't mean that the korban is puzzle and you bring another korban, because we can't do that. That would be mevi chulin la'azara. But what we can say is that the tzitz is not meratzeh if you're doing it on purpose, to the extent that we're not going to allow you to eat the basar of the carbon. Fine. Now notice, so the carbon, when we say words or low words, we mean in terms of the achilas basar. So here we say that if it was done b'shogeg, so then you can even eat the basar. If it was b'mezit low words, because of a knas. So what do we say? Exactly the same thing. The Chachamim only made a knas where somebody did something accidentally, but if we did it on purpose, we don't make a knas. The Rabbanan gave a knas only when he did it on purpose, where he did it accidentally. We don't give a knas, which is the exact opposite of what we said about Rabbi Meir. You see, Barnea, you're asking, when am I going to finish more quickly? I should only keep my brain straight. So here too, Amalcha Rabbi Meir, what kind of raya is this? Over here, the Kohen is coming along, and he's trying to be mechaper on someone, right? So now you're going to say, you made a mistake, so he's trying to do something right. So now we're going to go ahead and make him, and he's going to say it. So look, it's the same general approach I had before. A person's trying to pay. If he's trying to pay, we're not going to give him a knas for paying. A Kohen wants to be mechaper. Well, if he's trying to be mechaper, we're not going to give him a knas. Tashma. But there's another case, which is if somebody takes off Meiser on Shabbos. Now, If you take off Maaser on Shabbos, you're over in a Drabbanan. What's the Drabbanan? Because it looks like Tikkuni Mona, right? It looks as if you're fixing something on Shabbos, and therefore they answered it. But the halacha is that if you did a Peshogeg, then you can eat the food that you Maaser on Shabbos, but if Bemezid, you cannot. So here also we have a Stam Mishnah, that was Rabbi Meir, and it's saying that we don't do Kansin and Shogeg or to Mezid on a Drabbanan. Says the Gemara, well, it's the same basic idea here. The guy is trying to be metaken tvua, so he's certainly not engaged in doing something wrong. He's engaged in doing something right, except that he made a mistake. He didn't know you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. So we should give him a knas where he's doing a mitzvah, basically, to be taking off Maaser. Okay, I have another thing also, which in the end, these are all variations on a theme in which the question of why we won't give him a knas, is it because he's paying? Is it because he's helping people? Is it because he's trying to do a tikkun in the world and not a kilkul? And here we have yet another example, Toshma. Somebody takes his kelim and puts them in the mikvah on Shabbos. Now, obviously, there's no iser d'oraisa involved in that, but the Rabbanan said there too, since before you put it into the mikvah, you can't use the kli, and now that you put it in the mikvah, you can use the kli. So it is if you're fixing it on Shabbos, and that's also to the answer at Mirabon. So here it says, if you did that on Shabbos, then Bishogeg, you would be allowed to use those things at your Shabbos meal. But if you did it knowingly that you're doing something wrong, then they said you can't. And this is also a Stam Mishnah, which means it's Rabbi Meir, which tells me that Lo Kansin and Shogeg are to Mezid. And again, this is part of the same class of issues, which are ultimately the person attempting to doing something at least in the correct direction, whereas all of the other cases, there was nothing that was laudable about what he did at all. So, awesome, the person wants to make his kelim more kadosh roi for Yisrael. Anan lekum velikneseh. It doesn't make sense. He's trying to do what's right, and therefore we don't, in that case, hold that Rabbi Meir says, kansin and shogeg got to meis. Anyway, so far we've got this problem only with Rabbi Meir. Now let's take a look and see whether Rabbi Yehuda, where we said that Dafka, we said before, we claimed that the Rabbanan did not kain a shogeg got to meis in a Rabbanan, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, and we find that actually Rabbi Yehuda says elsewhere that they did kansin and shogeg got to meis, and that he went along with Rabbi Meir, even in the case of a Drabbanan. So Rami to Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Yehuda, in a case of a Drabbanan, because of the Tanya. Naflu and nitpatsu. Now this is based on, let me just, before I get an attack by a dangerous going. We don't even have a tzitz to be maratza, so. Okay. So now, the halacha is like this. Orla, Drabbanan, where goes her? That even though midiraisa, everything is bato barov. Doesn't matter if it's truma, if it's orla klaya, karam, everything is bato barov. The Rabbanan made a takana that orla can only be bato if it falls into 1 into 200. Wow. Or truma can only be bato if it falls into 100. Now, there's also another problem. That is that we have this concept where if something is very chashuv, and that chashivut depends often on the place, so at the time of the Gemara, the list included the egozim, the special beautiful egozim from Badan, and they were so chashuv that as long as they were whole, they would never be bought, even 200 to 1. Over here, the nuts that were orla fell into other nuts, but as they fell, they got smashed into pieces. So because of that, they were not included under Ekoze Perach and Rimoni Batan, right? So the din over there is, whether that happened B'Shogeg or whether it happened B'Mezid, the Rabbanan say, no, you still cannot use it, and they're not going to be Eila Becha B'Matai. So says Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Now that's a problem, because over here, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, even if it happened B'Shogeg, you're still not going to be able to eat it. And that means that he's contradicting himself. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say that it depends. If it was Bishogeg, lo kansin and shogeg got to mezid. But if it's b'mezid, lo yalo v'acha. Over here, we're clearly only dealing with a derabbana. Because midiraisa, in any circumstances, we always go according to the rov. Natzachrei rabbim latot. It's only the Rabbanan who were gozer, that in this case, because they're whole, they're not going to be batal, not to mention the fact that they're also a orla. So we have a special din of Ramachmar and orla. But the bottom line is that Bidya writes that there's no problem over here. And nonetheless, Kokonis Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's only the Rabbanan, that's a contradiction to the way you understood the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, in all of the sugyas that we've had until now about that section of Nikar and so on. Answers the Gemara, there's a different reason. We're over there, Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree with Rabbi Meir. Not because Kantina Chogi got to Mezen, but because, also, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Da'osi Le'iarume. We need to cut off the chances. Remember, what we're looking at over, we have no way of knowing whether this occurred purposefully or didn't occur purposefully. And therefore, it's very easy for a person to come to be Mevatel Isser L'chatchila if he has Orla, and he'll say, whoops, and then he's allowed to eat it. So in order to avoid the guy using whoops as a way to be circumventing the Takana Darabanan, that's called Haroma. Because of that, Rabbi Yehuda said, listen, in this case, we're not going to enable him to just claim something was Meshogeg. But generally speaking, we wouldn't be worried about that. All right, now let's just take a look now that we've raised another Shita. That's Rabbi Yossi Shita. So here Rabbi Yossi argued with Rabbi Yehuda and with Rabbi Meir, and he said that we are going to aser somebody, and if he goes ahead and he is Mevatel, isn't that a contradiction between the known Shita of Rabbi Yossi and the Braisa that we just had before? Rami de Rabbi Yossi had Rabbi Yossi to Tanan, because in this Braisa, he said, if he doesn't bemaze it, then we're going to be kenes. And here we have a Mishnah that says, de Tanan, nitiyashel orla v'shel koloya kerem, shenitavu b'nitiyot achirot. So here we had a weird situation. A guy lost track of what tree he had planted that was still Orla. So, this is very easy to understand in the case where he was planting trees, and some of the trees were planted 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, like the case we had last night, and some of them were planted the next day. One of them he planted the next day. He thought for sure he would remember, the same way you're sure you'll remember your password and then you're locked out forever. So he's convinced he's going to remember his tree, and he forgot. Now he got mixed up. He can't remember which tree it was that was the Orla. Or maybe, this is like a wild case, maybe he was walking along, minding his own business, carrying a flower pot, and this flower pot had a different species that was planted in it, and it had a hole in the bottom of the flower pot, and he was dancing among the tulips, which happened to also be in his vineyard. Not realizing, oh my gosh, I walked under this vine and I stayed long enough for it to be God Alecha B'Mataim, and now that vine becomes usher because it's now Kloya Kerem. Oh, face me. Okay, so now he doesn't remember which vine it was. If he goes out and he picks the fruit, so what happens then? Now all the fruit get mixed, and then they could become batal. Yes, the vines are never going to become batal, but the fruit can become batal. The vines are kavua. This was Purish. So in that case, the Mishnah says in Orla that in the case where a guy forgot his password to the Netiya Shel Orla or the Koya Karen, and now they were Nitarvu b'Netiyot Acherot, and we can't figure out which trees are the other trees, he's not allowed to pick the fruit at all. Because in picking the fruit, he's basically being Mevatel them. If he did do it, what would be the din? They would be Yalu b'Echad b'Matayim. As long as he didn't do it on purpose. Now here, Rabbi Yossi contradicts himself totally, because Rabbi Yossi says, even if he had kavanah to do it, he would still be allowed. So now Rabbi Yossi does not hold of knas, even on a mezid. And in the brisa that we just had, where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir agreed about the the Agoze Perech that fall in of Orla, Rabbi Yossi said, well, if you did it on purpose, then it would be Usher. Why there is an Usher? And over here, it's the same Isser, it's Orla. And Rabbi Yossi says, we're not Kansinan Shogeg up to me. We're not Kansinan even Mazid. Says the Gemara, you know the answer to that. Itamar Law, remember we had a whole discussion about that, that Rava explained over there, nobody in his right mind would ever do that. So Chazaka ein adam oser karmo b'netiyah. Come on, you're telling me that a guy is going to take the chance of wrecking his entire vineyard so they could have one extra vine that would be Kalaya Karen, or that would be Arla. That nobody ever does something so stupid. We're over here, the guy forgot his password, he's crazy. So if that's the case, I mean, he should have at least made some kind of mark or, you know, registry, whatever. So that's something that's not going to happen. It's a dover that's not shriach. That's where Rabbi Yossi holds. We don't make knasot for something that is not shriach. Masha'in came to find nuts falling into another mixture. I mean, that's always that way. We always pour things into other things. So that could certainly happen. V'cheikios ha-ravin om Rabbi Yochanan, he said the same thing that back in Eretz Yisrael, you should know they said the same shot that Rava said here above. Chazaka ein adam aser karmo b'netia achad. Which brings us to our magic moment, our magic sleepyhead moment. Oh my gosh. And you know, Zoom is taking care of all of this. You all believe that I manipulate the Zoom. Uh-huh. Yeah, Zoom even took care of that, Doc. Moved you just one little bit away, so at least you couldn't jam it directly into his head. That's why we got a sleepy head this morning. Okay, Rich. Great to see you. It's nice. It's nice that the daf came out Mitzvah Shabbos. Very nice. You know what's really impressive about this Zoom jazz is the surreptitiousness with which it's done, you know? Starts moving very slowly, so nobody notices. You only pick up the fact that Doc has been positioned exactly in the right place at the instant that Richie appears. I mean, this is really good. Really good. So the Mishnah says like this, and we've just learned this Mishnah before, as this was one of the cases that we had used to disprove our assumptions about Rabbi Meir. Here it says, HaKohanim shepiglu b'migdash mezidim chayavim. So we used this before, remember, to make the diyukim about whether we're considered shogeg or mezid. Here it says, dafka, if they did it the mezid, then they're going to have to pay the guy back for ruining his korban. Okay, now, initially we said that we potter, if you hold that like Chizkiah, so then the reason that we're telling you that only mezidim chayavim is because he should be able to not be terrified that it's going to cost them $500 to let the owner know that his carbon is not kosher, right? So that means that you definitely are going to believe the Kohen if he says that. Now, is that so simple? Because, I mean, now that we got to the actual case, is a Kohen believed to say such a thing? So turn around on it. If a person was working with another guy on his tires, right? So he's Ose Imo B'tarot, and he says to him, oi, these tires became tummy, or he's a Kohen who was working with another fellow to bring his carbon for him, and he says, oi, zvachim shasitim chanit paglu. He's Ne'eman. But if he says, you know, the tires that I worked on with you yesterday, or whatever, on July 3rd, they became tummy, or the zvachim shasitim chabiyom ploni nit paglu, then he's not Ne'eman. Why not? I mean, are we believing in Eid Echad, or we're not believing in Eid Echad? Mashna Resha. The difference is very simple. If something is biyado, he's currently working on it. So he could currently passel it anyway, right? So if it's biyado, so then he's ne'eman, because at this point he would be able to create exactly that. So he's still, I mean, if he says, I was mefagel b'shchita, if he wants to be mefagel, he's mefagel right now b'zrika. Right? Okay, so that means, same thing, I'm being Isaac and his tyrus. I could take a dead sheretz and touch it to it. So therefore, he would be Ne'eman. Masha'in Cain, if the pet in the safe that's talking about, that he's talking about something that happened an hour ago or that different date, so over there, it's not in his hands to change it. So therefore, we're not going to be minding him that he actually did it at the time. This is This is the way that Rashi always understands the idea of biyada. Now, there's a completely different approach, and that's the approach of the Rosh. The Rosh holds that this is begeter hadas bal din. So as long as something is in your hands, you are viewed as the one who is, so to speak, the owner, because you're the one that has to tell us what's happening. And therefore, we believe you, not because you could do it now. Now, there's a general question in this, obviously, which Tosfos asks. Don't we normally have a halacha that eid echad ne'eman b'yisurin? So I understand, what does this have to do with biyado or anything else? He's certainly as good as an eid echad, isn't he? He's telling you, listen, I know that this was pigel. So any eid echad that tells you that, that should be sufficient. So Tosis learns that surprisingly, all of these cases have got to be talking about where the owner says he knows that's not true. So therefore, where do we say eid echad is ne'eman where there's no hakasha? If the guy says, I know that it's not that way, so fine. Then we don't say eid echad ne'eman b'yisurin. Unless it was still tachas yada. Masha enkein, there's other approaches, really, to that shaila, because, I mean, this is a little bit difficult to believe. So there's a ritva. The ritva holds that the point is that normally when we have an idea that there's a chazaka, that a person does something correctly, and that's it. There's even the tzat to say that chazaka shliachah is a shlichusay. So certainly if the guy claims that he did the opposite, we're not going to believe him in terms of nemunas of edus. We'll believe him only because it's biyadai. Or there's another problem over here, which we'll see indicated later in the Gemara. Because if when you gave it back to him, you didn't say anything, and that's the derech, that you should say it, that the shliach always, remember, is chayzer l'mishaleach, so then we don't believe what you say afterwards since you didn't say it before. Well, see, that's been Ogea Rava's approach, which he now says as opposed to Abaya. Rava says like this. The truth is that it isn't correct to say what you think. It's not saying that we will not believe the guy if it's no longer biyado. It is believed. The only time that we said over here in the Seifa that he's not believed is where he had met up with this guy. And the Kohen had met this person that he brought the Kohen for, the carbon for, a day later. And he didn't say a thing to him that there was a problem. And then 3 days after that, then he meets him. And then he tells them, look, you know, I didn't want to tell you, but actually the carbon was pigel. So there, you're going to Ashkechev lo amar le velo bide. So initially, he doesn't tell him anything. So the fact that he didn't tell him at the time, that doesn't bother us, you see. Because the guy is, oh my God, like, you know, this happened, I don't know what to do. Okay, so fine. So in the shock of the moment, he didn't say anything. That doesn't bother us. But he had a chance to think it over. 2 days later, he meets the guy, still doesn't say anything. And then all of a sudden, 3 days after that, he does say something. It's Mashma, now he's angry at the guy, he wants to make him miserable, he's trying, okay, so he tells him something, but it isn't really true. So that's why the Seifa says, L'basar hachi ashkechev amalei. So over there, since he didn't tell him, we're not going to believe him. You know, unless it would be biyada. But this is the whole point. Now it's not biyada. So we had cases like that. A guy bumps into someone. I was working on these tyres. I did it for you. And I got to tell you, they became tummy. So the guy comes. This guy's devastated. He comes to Rabbani. Do I have to believe him that it's tummy? So Rabbani said to him, listen, shurat adin. Look, I mean, mitzad halacha, I have to tell you. I mean, look, I don't know how you feel about it, if you believe him or not, but in terms of the halacha, he is not considered to be ne'eman, because since this happened, so now the question is this going aliba, the simple pshat that we had before, since it's not biyada, according to Abaye? Because according to what Rava said, he should have asked him whether he had bumped into him before, right? He didn't ask him, did you bump into him before? Mashmah, he's not going aliba de Rava. Okay, so enochinami. There are various Rishonim that speak out that Bechara, this is going only aliba da Abaye, because he can't say Shura Sadin. Omer lefanav Rabasi, to Rabasi, who heard the psak of Rabani, set him Revi, after all Merkain, that we don't believe him. There was the same case, came to Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, what am I supposed to do? The Torah believes this Eid Echad, even if it happened later. So now this would work out very well according to Rava. It's not going against the Braisa at all, because as Rava explained it, where did we say in the Braisa that we believe him only where he had met up with him, didn't say anything, and then meets up with him again and does say anything? So that means thrice, basically, because at the time he didn't say anything, after he meets him, he doesn't say anything, and then he says something at the end. So then, according to Rava, this is absolutely correct, what Rabbi Yochanan said over here, that the Torah is maimin somebody, even if it's later, unless they had this meeting. So now the question is, what would be the din of a kohen who's mekabel dam in his hand? He doesn't have a container, and now he starts doing the zrika from his hand. What would you do with a kohen like that? You throw him out. Zerik, exactly. And therefore, he should be embarrassed to express an opinion. When you say that the Torah believes him, where does the Torah believe him? How can I mean not to? Please make this big deal. What should I do? God believes him. I'm not going to believe him. God believes him. Where did it say in the Torah we believe this? Do we have a general halacha that a kohen can be mefagel? Does that include that there would be a din of pigel on Yom Kippur? So how exactly would there be a din of pigel on Yom Kippur? The kohen, nobody else is allowed to be in the Kadesh when the kohen is there, right? So the kohen is completely alone. And the kohen comes out and he says, Oy vey, I was mefagel, we need to bring another korban. The Torah gives all of the din of a pigel under any all circumstances, or including Yom Kippur too. So how could a kohen possibly be mefagel on Yom Kippur? He's going to be all alone. Must be, therefore, kohen gadol b'yom kippur yochiyach, because if he says that there was a pigel of the soyer la'ashem, we have to bring another one. How could we possibly know, mino yadinan, if it says in the Torah, v'chol adam lo yeba omayed, and therefore we can't have an aid other than the kohen gadol himself? Ela lav mishum demana. So clearly we do believe the kohen. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes the kohen, even though now it's no longer in his hands, because he came out to tell us, you know, well, what do you mean? I mean, maybe we heard him say, I am going to eat this chutzlah b'koimai. I don't know. I mean, especially Rashi's shita all over is that the kohen is only able to be mefagel if he actually verbalizes the pigel. So for sure, maybe we overheard him. So, even if you overheard him, how do you know it's not a fake out? Maybe he finished bringing the carbon properly, and then just to scare everybody to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, he says, and this korban I'm going to end up eating outside. Oh my God. So maybe we shouldn't believe that also. And therefore, if not that he's Neman, it wouldn't help to hear him, because he loved him. Eman, afagav de shamina, nami lo me'eman, b'til b'pol ha'basar ha'chikomer. How do we know when he's saying it? But wait a minute. There are ways that the kohen could be actually observed, you know? Remember there were those little pishpishin on the side that give it the din, even when the door is closed to the echel, if the pishpishin are open, it's called Pesach Hayom Moed. And then there's the special lul, which is in the back. And what if somebody was looking through the lul just to make sure that he does a good job? I mean, see, I don't know. So Dilma Nechazina bepishpish, but you can't bring a raya from there. Okay, fine, gosh, I don't know why he says the Torah was Mami Noah, 100%. Okay, but certainly there's no reason to say not. Ahuda also came to Rabami. There was another mice like this, fascinating mice. A guy comes to Rabami, he was a sofer, and he says to Rabami, look, I made a terrible mistake. I sold somebody a sefer Torah. I wrote him a sefer Torah, and I did not write the Shemais Hashem. I didn't write them Lishman. So Lamaisa, they're not kosher. So Rabami said to him, where's the sefer Torah currently? Sefer Torah biyad mi. So he said, I already delivered it to him. It's biyad lokeach. So Rabami said to him, okay, so look, I believe you that you're not going to get paid, but I don't believe you that the sefer Torah is possible. So, ne'amanat alav sitzcharcha. Okay, you're baldin. You say you didn't give a kosher sefer Torah, so you're not going to be paid for your work, but you can't come along now, since it's not biyadcha, you can't come along now to be mafsid him the Sefer Torah. So apparently what Rav Ami is saying, it's mashma, he's saying that if you hadn't given him the Sefer Torah yet, so then you would be nema, which is l'chora going according to Rava. But lav davka, because even though it's not biyatcha to write the askarot, see, here's a very interesting machlokas rishoni. Sometimes it goes according to Abaya, sometimes it goes according to Rava. The question is, when we say it's biyodai, do we mean it's biyodai to cause the same pegam that he said, or do we mean it's biyodai to achieve the same result? You can't cause the pegam now if you finish writing the Sefer Torah by writing the Shema Yisrael Lishma, obviously. You could pass the Sefer Torah in other ways. You could erase the Shema and write it Shalom Lishma, yes, but that's not writing the Shema Yisrael Lishma. But still, if biyotcha means you could cause the same pagam, okay, so then I could cause the same pagam. So that's the question. Is it going aliba dabaya because it's biyodai? This is not called biyodai, but it's going aliba. It would be over here aliba derava, since you didn't say anything at the time. Omale Reb Yirmiyah. I don't understand, Reb Yirmiyah asks Reb Ami. I don't understand, why doesn't he get paid? I mean, the Shemais Hashem that are here is only, let's say, 5% of the work he does. So you're saying he doesn't get paid at all? He shouldn't get paid for the Shemot? But the Hidavs, it's Schar Askarot, Schar the Sefer Torah, Kula Mehivsid. Why does he lose the Schar for the whole Sefer Torah? So obviously, I mean, here too, there's Machlokas Rishonim. But the simplest shot is, as we'll see later on, that Reb Yirmiyah held that you could always go over the Shemot. Remember the sugya that we had before in Soita. Whether if you write over something that had already been written, is that considered to be ketav? So he held, Reb Yirmiyah, that if I take my ink and I go over each one of the shemais with a new ksiva of the shem on top of the old one, and I thereby have kavana for the shem, that would be okay. Okay, so you'll say, but that's going to cost him another $10,000 to do that. Okay, fine, so take that money off of what the cost was of the Sefer Torah. But at least let him get paid for the work that he did do. Therefore, Reb Yirmiyah asked him, why does he lose everything? And Reb Ami told him, absolutely lose everything, says Reb Ami. Because a Sefer Torah, she'ena haskarot shebo, k'tuvot lishman, ena shava klum. Why not? Why can't we say, if he holds that ksav, agav ksav over here, would be considered to be ksiva? Suddenly, Abra Lauku must let him go over it again with new ink and let him have in Kavana of the Kedushas Hashem. So apparently, Kiman Rabami, who says there's no option like that, does that mean that he, Bedavka, holds not like Rabbi Yehuda? It's not. This was the story that we had before. A guy, actually, a Sefer is writing, and he got up to a place where he needs to write the Shem Hashem, and he thinks that he needs to write the word Yehuda. And he fortunately makes a mistake, and he leaves out the Dalit from Yehuda. So he ends up with Yudke Vovke. But it was not written as a Shem Hashem. So instead, he was Nitkavin Lechtov Yehuda, Vita'a, V'lo Yitil Bo Dalit. So now it doesn't have Kedusha. So Reb Yehuda says, you can take your kumus, dip it in ink, and go over the word again, and then you would have a Shem Hashem that would be with the proper name. So it says Reb Yehuda. So then Reb Ami is saying, you can't do that. So apparently he doesn't hold that it would be kosher in that case. The Chachamim say, indeed, Ein Hashem min hamufchar, which we paskin means, it's a machlokas, but we paskin that means that it wouldn't be kosher. So does that mean that this is because of Ksav Agav Ksav, and he holds it, therefore the whole Sefer Torah is pasul? Says the Gemara, not necessarily, because there's another issue that we need to take into consideration. And it could be that, technically speaking, the Shemais are Kodesh in that case. So, Afilu Teima Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda only gave this option to be Metakein. A shame over here, a shame over there. But if you're going to be doing this to every single shame in the Sefer Torah, then what you are getting is a Sefer Torah that is Michse Kiminumar. It looks like you have arbitrary bolding in different places. And bolding destroys the kashrus of the Sefer Torah. It looks like it's got different levels of tiger spots on it. I mean, why does it look like this? And that is considered to pass on the Sefer Torah because of the Zekei Levan Veu, and therefore the guy's not going to be able to use the Sefer Torah, and he loses all of his schar. Maybe that's why. So we can't bring a raya from here. It was another maisa like that, where the Sefer comes to Rabbi Abahu, and he said this maisa, Sefer Torah shekatafti leploni, this is a real disaster. I did not do the ibud of the cloth, lishma, and that passes the Sefer Torah. So now, I mean, he's saying the whole thing is completely worthless because it wasn't written on kosher cloth. So Rabbi Abahu said to him, and where's the Sefer Torah now? Well, Malay Sefer Torah is where? Beyond me, Amalei, I already delivered it. So he said to him, Imken, you're Neman, because mitoch sha'ata Neman afsit zcharcha, basically what you've just said now is that you don't get paid for any of this work. Since you are Neman to lose your work, and it's costing you the money, so therefore you have a migo that we believe you. And in this case, that kind of loss is going to be ma'amin, the very fact that you did it. Now, of course, the question is, if that's the case, why did he ask him? That's a whole big discussion. Why did he say Sefer Torah b'yad mi? If I'm being ma'amin him because of the migo, so then was it really important to establish whether it was because of the migo or was because of the yodai? That's a question why he asked. Now, the shaila is, why is this different? So, ma'ishnah min Rabbi Ami. The Rabbi Ami said that in this case, we don't believe him, even though he lost his money. So how come Rabbi Ami says we don't believe him? And over here, we're saying we do believe him. Because it could be that actually the guy is lying, right? But he thought he wasn't going to lose all of his work. Because he thought, okay, so now they'll give it back to me to fix, you know. And I'll tell them I fixed it. I'll give over. I'll go over. But meanwhile, the guy will be miserable. Okay, so that's it's a small loss. Okay, so just to make him miserable, I'm willing to take that loss, right? But in this case, where he said the gvilin over here is being mafsid every last penny, he said given the guy mafsid kuli agre. He knows there's no way that he couldn't know that, so he's going to lie about something like that, and he's coming forward and he's telling us it must be. That Emor Kushtaka Omar, he must be telling us the truth. The truth, gentlemen, shall set you free. And therefore, Bezrat Hashem, we shall be zeicher to meet tomorrow and to continue our, and this is very much a disaster because we're going to have to start off with Barnea's neighborhood because the next Mishnah is actually from Yavne. Oy, vay, vay. All right, so prepare yourselves or come a little bit late maybe. So, Bezrat Hashem, to listen to the takonos that took place in Yavne as well. Wonderful to see you all. Kol tov. Have a delicious day with Besuras Teves and much Rufuais and Besuras Teves.